Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
Just fine, just fine.
You always sound peachy and happy.
Well,
kind of gets on my nerves. No, just kidding.
It's kind of like when you go into a restaurant early in the morning, you just want your cup of coffee, and the waitress comes over. Well, good morning, everybody, and that is someone, and you just want to look. It's just like go away.
Shut up. Get my coffee. Yeah. Before somebody dies. I understand.
Well, gold didn't die today, but we have gold up 350 today. That's all right. It's holding out at this 1460 level. We're looking at $1,464.70 today. We have silver up 9 cents today at $16.77. Platinum was up $27 today at $925. Palladium was up 16 at $1,904. The USDX today is down 0.21 at 97.44. Crude oil was up 0.26 at 59.28. And the paper markets today, they were down triple digits earlier in the day. They were back and forth most of the day, and they were able to get most of it back. The Dow was down 27 points, 27,882. The NASDAQ was down 5 points at 8,616. S&P was down 3 at 3,132. 10-year yield, 1.83%. And that's pretty much it. And as far as the markets go, the stocks did turn positive after the report of the possible delay of the December tariffs. Remember, the 15th of December was a D-Day for, you know, the tariffs and additional tariffs and so forth on China. Now, you know, they leaked a little bit saying that, maybe there'll be a delay on those December tariffs. So, you know, that's how they were able to bring back, you know, from the triple-digit losses. The Democrats and the Trump administration is supposed to be near a tentative North American trade deal. We'll see how that ends up. The Fed is likely to reinforce a message of continued low rates. And these are just headlines because, you know, we all know what the rest of the story is on these. Let's see if there's anything else that's kind of interesting that is worth going a little more into details. I'm tired of talking about the trade negotiations on one day, off the next. It's just, stupid. It's literally stupid. But that's about it. But U.S. productivity was weak in third quarter. Labor costs were revised lower. You know, that's really not anything exciting. China's consumer inflation is at an eight-year high. So, yeah, that was pretty much it. That allowed... looks like the New York Fed accepted another $28.5 billion in 13-day repo bids. So that's all right, man. Yeah. Let them make the bubble bigger and bigger until the bubble finds its pin.
Oh, that's going to hurt so bad. It really is. That's going to smart. The bigger it gets, the worse it's going to be. But no one seems to really pay much attention to that. But, you know, I guess the big news today is that the Democrats, House Democrats, have unveiled articles of impeachment against Trump. They, you know, they found two charges, I guess, so abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. So I suppose they're going to vote on impeachment Wednesday, which is tomorrow, if I understand that right. Is that true? Did I mishear that?
If what?
They're going to vote on the impeachment tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is that what they said, or did I mishear that?
I didn't really follow it much today. I thought that the full House was going to vote next week.
Maybe it is next week. Maybe it's next Wednesday. I misunderstood it. But they're moving ahead with it. And to be quite honest with you, I'm a little bit surprised that it's got this far. with all the insanity and flat out, I don't want to say lies, but what's the exaggerations they've used to do this with? It's unbelievable. I really thought that this would blow up in her face before this. So we'll see what happens with the impeachment hearings. I just don't know. I know some Republicans are leaning for it, and some Democrats are coming out of it now. So I really don't know. But it's amazing that with all this going on, according to new polls, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, Trump had surged ahead of the other candidates there by at least 6 points. So his numbers are going up with all this. And I just wonder, Mel, is that because people are getting tired of hearing all this from Democrats? Could it be possible?
You know, we talk about people tired of all this and so forth, but I don't know how many people are really paying attention to all of this. I mean, certainly if they watch any news at night, they're going to get it, but a lot of people watch their local news. And I know, I mean, you know, so I think a large part of the population probably doesn't even pay any attention to it. And then the other, you know, part of the population is glued to it. But it is, and it's something that's on the background. You have it on in the TV while you're working or you're doing, you're cleaning and so forth. You're not sitting there totally immersed watching what's going on and so forth. And what was interesting is I was talking to someone last night and I asked them, well, what did you, you know, just, you know, they were the Democrats. And what they said was they thought that the performance on both parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, was disgusting. Because it is all about their own party. It isn't about the Constitution. It isn't about, you know, what was done and what wasn't done. It was they were arguing their own side. And it just goes to show how split and divided this nation is. But they're seeing it on both sides, both the Republicans and the Democrats. So with your statement there about, you know, some of the Democrats are falling away from it, yeah, they're beginning to see the theatrics in all this too. And, you know, it comes down to their three, you know, constitutional supposed experts that they had last week, along with Turley, was the Republicans' choice, and that's what I said. I said, that's the best they could do in this whole nation. They couldn't find four people that understands the Constitution and stick with it and not bring in their own opinions.
Their own bias.
Their own bias.
You know, yeah. And that's just the way it is. So I don't know.
People are getting tired of it.
They are getting tired. So like the Russian gate phenomenon went over for 2 years. I got so after, if I was talking about it, I turned channels or something. I go do something else. I got tired of hearing it. I think same thing with this impeachment. And if it does go through the House, it's not going to go through the Senate. So it's really, I don't understand unless you're trying to hide something else. Because this is a waste of time in the long run. It's a waste of billions of dollars of our tax dollars. It's a waste of time. He's not going to be kicked out. He may get impeached, but he's not going to be taken out. So we're going to go on the same way it was, just with an impeached president. Same thing happened with Clinton. Nothing really changed. So he'll run for office again, and probably, the way things look, he'll probably win again. So what have they gained with all this? I mean, that's what I'm curious about. What are they trying to cover up? What are they hoping to gain to waste all this time, this effort? And, Melody, it's costing me and you, the taxpayers, a lot of money for these people to play these games.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, they're spending a lot of money and, you know, they're wasting a lot of money in a lot of other places that, you know, but, yeah.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, I can't, you know, every time somebody brings up, every time one of the Republicans bring up the idea that we're spending all this money on them, these theatrics, and it's just kind of laugh.
Sure.
Because they, you know, because they're part of the problem is why we're, you know, 23-40 plus $1 trillion in debt. So it makes me laugh that all of a sudden that becomes a concern, you know, that they're, you know, they're just, but you know what the thing of it is though, Butch, is it, they all do it, I get that. So, but is it right though?
No, it's not right.
That you have a, what was done. Is that proper? I mean, do we turn our backs on that and say, what's the big deal? of what supposedly President Trump did.
I'm not convinced he actually did it, but it isn't right. But we know Biden did the same thing for his son under Obama. Only more money was involved.
Yeah, but that's the argument. Is that the issue?
No, Melody, it is so convoluted. It should be an issue, but compare what else they've done is so minor. It's just so minor compared with the others, what they've all done behind the scenes.
But then, am I wrong? You can't turn a, you're right. If Hunter Biden was wrong, then what about Kushner? And what about Ivanka? I said it was wrong from day one.
Absolutely, it is. That's favoritism, and that's bringing family in.
They have access to the highest degree of information from the White House.
But have you noticed that Kushner and Ivanka both have kind of slid out of the scene?
Well, I mentioned that last week after everything's done in phases. The phase two Middle East peace plan kind of fell apart.
And it kind of slid out of the scene. It's a little bit amazing. I don't know whether they did it on purpose as far as just trying to take away the controversy with him being there or what. I don't know. But, I had a guy on last night. You probably know of G. Edgar Griffin. He wrote the book, The Creature of Jekyll Island. I had him on the program last night. You talk about an interesting man to talk to. I mean, it's talk about a walking encyclopedia. 88 years old now. Sounds like he's in his 30s. And his knowledge is unbelievable, and his insight is really deep and informative. And he was talking about all this shenanigans going on with all these different areas, and of course finances and all that. He revealed the Federal Reserve back in 1980s big time in the book The Creature of Jekyll Island. That was the first book I read as a newbie, so to speak, on the radio back in the early 90s. I got to thinking about what does this mean. No one ever taught me in school about the Federal Reserve or what it was all about, or what the goals were, or what they did. No one taught that. No one taught me the Constitution and the articles on sound money and how it's supposed to be done. No one taught me this thing, Melody. So when I started learning these things back in the 90s, I was starting from kindergarten level. And in the last several years, almost 30 years, I've had quite an education to see these things come about. So, as we were discussing last night, they've accomplished all this through the apathy and ignorance of the people. If you don't know the truth, how do you know when somebody's telling you a lie?
Agreed.
It's just that easy. They're in so many different ways, and so much chaotic thought and processes going on, that it's really hard to settle your mind on an even keel to get a grasp on about anything. And that's part of the plan. They keep you off balance, and you don't know exactly what to think about any issue, hardly.
Yeah.
It hasn't gotten deeper necessarily as far as the issue's getting deeper. There's just more of them, and they're more convoluted.
Very true.
What I'm saying.
And the internet, there's just everybody and everybody on the internet, and it does make it a little more difficult.
It does. But moving back to something in the economy, I thought this was kind of a telling article. November heavy-duty truck orders resumed collapse, down 39% to the weakest since 2015. And it says Class 8 orders collapsed in November, culminating a dismal year that some thought had seen a reprieve with October's improved bookings. But new data from FreightWaves showed that the collapse has continued this trend, indicating that the sluggish economy is to blame for lackluster replacement demand. Orders totaled 17,300 units for the month, which marks the slowest November since 2015 and 39% collapse from November 2018. The slowdown in orders is prompting layoffs of hundreds of production workers by companies like Daimler Trucks North America, Volvo Trucks North America, PACCAR Incorporated, and Navistar International Group. Other names in Class 8 supply chain are also detailing dealing with the negative effects. For instance, the engine manufacturer Cummins Incorporated is laying off 2,000 white-collar employees globally in the first quarter of 2020. Meanwhile, November used to be a month when fleets would be busy placing orders for the upcoming year. After October's slight tick up in orders, many analysts thought November would follow suit. That didn't happen, and subsequently, November's order book was down 20% from October. You know, when they're not making products that haul goods, that means the goods are not being manufactured and shipped. That kind of tells a lot of news, a lot of information about the state of the economy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, we've seen all these little softness areas in the various parts of the market, and trucking is certainly a very big one to pay attention to.
Well, if the trucks aren't moving, the goods aren't moving. That's all I can say.
Yep.
Demand is down, perhaps. Production is down. You know, I listen to the mainstream news, and my, they had a banner sale this year, Black Friday, and banner sales with Monday, Digital Monday,
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday, yeah. And they had record highs on that. And I'm not saying they didn't, but it seems kind of odd that if they're having records all the time, why is the demand for trucks going down? You'd think we're picking up if people buying more goods, wouldn't you?
You'd think.
Maybe I just look at the wrong... I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, but of course, I'm not the brightest bulb in the house either, so I don't know about that, but this looks like things that we're picking up. If everybody's buying so much, consumerism is up, and everybody's happy and content, why is the demand going down for supplies? I just don't understand that. And on top of that, diesel demand slump signals manufacturing recession is still raging, so diesel is, of course, the fuel for industry, but since manufacturing, unemployment, inflation have all been in downturns for 1 year, hence why the Federal Reserve has been quick to slash interest rates, as President Trump has been begging for negative interest rates, quantitative easing, and emergency tax cuts. So they said not only here, but in China, India, Europe, South America, all the demand for diesel is going down because, you know, trucking firms use it, railroads use it, manufacturers use it, construction firms, oil and gas drillers, farmers all use diesel to power their equipment, but the demand is down. So that maybe should tell something also, that it's just not as busy as everybody wants to think it is. It's not just here, it's around the world.
You know, it's funny.
I don't
and there
know what
was,
that's pointing to.
There was, you know, information now Well, we're heading into break, and we can touch on this when we get back, about how business economies are seeing the U.S. slowing but avoiding a recession. It's like, oh, please. We'll be back in just a few moments, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back. Melody had to step out for just a second, so I'm going to do my best to take over for her a little bit. And, you know, I appreciate folks that listen to Melody because they like Melody. And I appreciate those more that listen to me because this is not, I'm not an expert on this and like Melody is. All I do is report the news and a little bit of, if I have any common sense that I've seen in my lifetime and understand a little bit about economics. So understand that I'm not saying that I'm by any means on a par with Melody's history when it comes to talk about money and money situations, but you know, I am a little bit of a scholar, I think, in scripture. And by the way, the scripture teaches very clearly the necessity of sound money. Oh, it's in the Bible, it truly is. And it also puts a curse on those who use false weights and measures, which is what a fiat currency is. And that curse is the curse may be long in coming and slow in the process, but when it comes altogether, it's going to hurt. A dollar, as I've said many times, the dollar does not collapse in one fell swoop. It collapses a little bit at a time until it comes to the end of it. Then it goes down and takes everything with it. But back to the issue, high-tech features push U.S. vehicle loans to record levels. I know I'm getting to be an old man. I realize that. But I remember the time before every car had air conditioning. Isn't that amazing? Every car didn't even have power steering. That's true. And automatic transmissions were just getting to be a rage when I was a young boy. They still come up with standard drive transmissions. And no one dreamed of heated seats. No one even could have thought of a cell phone in a car hooked up with Bluetooth where you talk and drive and call and do business. That was impossible. Or have GPS right on your car to give you directions to where you're going, and backup cameras. There's much more than that I don't even know about. I happened over 2013. Not new by any means. Ford Edge, nice car. I like it. Got 127,000 miles on, but it runs good, and I like it. It has features on it that I've never used. I don't even know how to start using them. I didn't need those features, but they're there. But the problem is, when you buy a car today, most of them come with a lot of these features, and they add cost to that. And many people are absolutely sold on every gadget they can get. They think the more gadgets the car has, the better it is. How many of y'all remember that you didn't have electric windows? Remember those days? And I can remember on a Jeep we had, you had on the passenger side, you had to work the wiper yourself. The other side, the driver's side, worked on vacuum, and it only worked well going downhill, because that's when I had vacuum into the wipers. I'm just reminiscing here and talking about things that we didn't need. And all these gadgets cause the price of the car to go up. And as cars get newer, if you got to trade for another car, whether you want them or not, they're on there, and you're going to pay for them. So the average amount of a new vehicle loan rose by 5% to $32,408 from a year earlier, according to information service from Experian PLC. The average used car loan increased 3% to $20,466. Now, pause a second. A used car average is over $20,000. Used car. Oh, my. Has that changed in my lifetime? And a new car average is over $32,000. That's more than I paid for my house when I bought it back in 1970-something. Car buyers are paying up for high-tech features such as voice-activated entertainment systems and semi-autonomous driver assist technology that steers wandering cars back into their lane, automatically brakes to avoid rear-end collisions, Not only are consumers preferring SUVs, which are typically more expensive than their sedan counterparts, but they also are choosing not to skimp on in-vehicle features and content, a positive indicator of consumer confidence in the economy, said Oliver Strauss, chief economist of ALG, a subsidiary of TrueCar. U.S. auto debt has continued to expand, ticking up to $1.32 trillion in the third quarter. $1.32 trillion in the third quarter. My goodness. An increase of $50 billion from a year earlier, according to the latest data from New York Fed. The percentage of car loans is in serious delinquency, with owners behind on payments by 90 more days, also rose almost 5%. And folks, that's it said it's a sign of a confidence in society, in economy. I don't think so. I think it's a sign that people want to buy above their means. A lot of time. Now, I'm not saying every time, but the payment that in arrears over 90 days went up about 5%. So obviously, everybody's buying cars. Somebody's buying cars can't pay for. Did it one time in my life, and what embarrassing time in my life that was. I didn't mean to, it just happened that way. But all these features that we think are necessities, and of course now with the almost self-driving cars that will stir you back in the right lane and will brake for you if you're not watching what you're doing, and this all sounds wonderful. But we're seeing what's happened with the Tesla cars that are killing people, running over people, and crashing. That supposed to be self-driving cars. I wonder, is it necessary for us to have all these features in a car, a place where you're in to travel back and forth? Maybe it's convenient. Maybe it's comfortable. I like the idea of a bigger car for comfort because I'm a pretty good sized guy. I like to be able to sit in a Ford. I traded for that Ford because, and it wasn't new. It had 100,000 miles on when I got it, folks. I can't afford a new car. But I traded in a nice little car for it that was getting, and still run well, but it was so small that it was starting to hurt my back when I drove it. So I traded for that so I had more comfort. And the features come with it. And I do admit, I do enjoy the Bluetooth, and I do enjoy the backup camera. I do. Other than that, there's a lot of things on there that I wouldn't even know where to start and what to use it for. Now, that's just me. You know, you can think what you like, but that's just me. I'm not a gadget freak. I mean, some people love those things. I'm not into that. I'm not by any means a technical whiz or a nerd in that direction. I'm just a plain old hillbilly. If I got something to start up in the morning and gets me where I want to go, I'm happy. But we'll move on from there. If Melly get back to you in time, Melly, you chime in here. And this article here we talked about before that it could happen on Melanie's program and on mine over the years. Sooner or later, we knew that the Ponzi scheme, that's what it is, of corporation retirement plans was going to come to an end. And it is coming to an end. It's a Ponzi scheme. They keep promising more to retirees, and of course, it's like anything else, inflation goes up, so they promise to give the retirees more money when they retire, and new workers come in, and they're paying into it to sustain those already getting it. But when the company starts slowing down, they start going bankrupt, a lot of them, like the mines in West Virginia. My brother gets his last check this month from a pension from the coal mines. Now something happens, it ends. Circle says it's really over. Corporate pensions head for extinction as nature of retirement plans changes. They're going extinct. I knew it happened sooner or later. It has to. Somebody got to step in and make it work. Government's got to step on and pay for it. Or something like somebody's got to pay for it. But no matter who puts a band-aid on, it's going to end anyway one day. The practice of companies sending monthly retirement checks to their former workers is headed for extinction, and remaining pension funds are in tough financial shape. Nearly two-thirds of pension funds are considering dropping guaranteed benefits to new workers within the next 5 years, according to a human resources consulting firm that studied the matter. Let's just pause here a second. Nearly two-thirds of pension funds are considering dropping guaranteed benefits to new workers within the next 5 years. Despite gains in the stock market this year, the U.S. pension plans are near their worst financial state in 2 years, according to a new report by Mercer, which casts a spotlight on the escalating cost of past promises to employees. They made promises, folks, they can't afford to keep. It's like buying a car on time and finding out you can't pay for it. Most U.S. companies no longer offer defined benefit pensions. Pensions, which typically provided guaranteed monthly payments to workers when they retired. But pension funds that still operate must gain in value to ensure they have enough to meet their obligations. And folks, it just isn't happening. It's just like anything else, Social Security, anything else. I'll just tell you this, I'm not very private with all things. I got a $12 raise starting next month on my Social Security. 12 whole bucks a month. So that means I can take a trip to Hawaii, right? Enjoy a little time off. That's absurd. You back?
Can I come up? Can I come along?
You can. Yes, you sure can. But you got to chip in your $12 too, though.
Okay. I'll start saving.
But I'm just sharing here that this headline was so powerful. It's really over. Corporate pensions head for extinction as nature of retirement plans changes. It says that 2/3 of pension funds are considering dropping guaranteed benefits to new workers. Mel, it's a Ponzi scheme. You talked about it. I've talked about it. It's coming to an end. They can't do it. When business slows down, they can't keep paying into a retirement scheme that's costing money. They just can't keep the promises, so they're going to start not pay their retirement funds. They don't have it. And what are you going to do to stop it? I mean, if they're bankrupt, they can't afford to pay it. You can't get butt out of a turnip, so what are you going to do? Right?
You know, I don't know if you saw this story. I guess it's just breaking news. That's one thing I like doing the program at 4 o'clock. There's always a lot of breaking news. But you might have heard this before. There was a shooting, 6 dead, including a cop, after a male and female shooter duo, armed 2-hour-long shootout against a SWAT team. That started in a cemetery and ending inside a bodega. There is a third shooter is remaining at large. This happened, I guess, Jersey City. Mm-mm. And the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office confirmed that one police officer was fatally shot, 2 others were wounded, along with a civilian in the active shooter situation on Martin Luther King Drive on Tuesday afternoon. 2 juvenile suspects, 1 male, 1 female were shot and killed, along with 3 other people who were inside the bodega. And the third suspect, described by the source as a black male wearing all black, is still at large. Gunfire interrupted outside the J.C. Kosher supermarket just after 12 p.m. as police officers reported over radio.
Did they say what caused it?
No. I'm just getting this news as I'm reporting it with you now. I don't know. It's weird. It said it started in the cemetery. So I don't know how it starts in a cemetery and ends up in a bodega killing all these people.
Oh my. This is society's falling apart. Morally, the decay is taking over. Society's falling apart, and it's not the guns. It's the mindset of the people who've been taught for years in this country that they come from animals and act like animals. You wonder why they go insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is sad. It is, but it's just America has, in our lifetime, Mel, has changed to a nation that you and I would. Well, in the 1960s, it wouldn't even dream of, would it?
Well, you know, it's always everybody places blame. They want to find the call. They want to place blame on someone, something, instead of asking why.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? What is happening?
And most of them, they don't believe it.
No, just like, well, yesterday, you know, I brought up the anger at a stupid football game because they lost a game.
Yes.
And this is the anger that has, you know, kind of has, not everywhere, but in many, many places has taken over. It's them against us against them. It's been so divided. And you're nobody asks why. And the thing of it is, yes, it's true. We took God out of our system. And there's no accountability anymore.
No, there's not.
I mean, look what these people do and look what happens to them. you know, it's they become, you know, I'm not saying they become famous, but no one's held accountable at all because they take the blame away from the person who actually did it.
What's the gun's fault?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then they sue the manufacturer.
Sure.
And no one is being held accountable for these people and why they're doing what they're doing. You know, and most of them have seen doctors. Let's hold a few of these doctors responsible.
Most of them are some kind of mind altering drug. Also, you know that.
Yeah. So whoever prescribed the drugs, how about, you know, holding them a little accountable for the situation? And how about accounting, holding the, you know, when these background checks go through and the FBI flubs it up? I mean, if they can't do a decent background check with the laws already on the books, well, I can't imagine that they do better job in anything else that they're supposed to do.
Totally agree.
So,
totally agree.
Good. So, but...
you know, John Adams warned us that our Constitution was only made for a moral and religious people, that was totally inadequate to govern any other kind of people. And for a nation to have a Constitution that wasn't written for the people, it was written to control the government. And the people were supposed to be the moral compass for the government. When that moral compass is gone, of course the government is corrupted because the people are corrupted. But we were warned that this nation cannot hold together without morality. And Melda, as you said, nothing anymore is really wrong unless you burp in public. Then you probably go to jail for that because that's offensive. But you can say anything you want to just about the people. That's your feelings, of course. And nothing is immoral, you know, no matter what it's to do with sex or pedophilia or anything else. Nothing more is considered wrong. It's just a matter of fact that we have lost our moral compass. The
everything
is taken over.
Yeah. Everything is accepted.
Yes,
everything
it is.
Is just, you know, go along to get along, and if it feels good, do it. And, you know, it's okay. We're all, you know, it's just, and look how we've seen things changed since we started doing this.
Oh,
for 25 years.
I know.
And I remember having a conversation with a listener, client. We were talking about, you know, the same thing, and I distinctly remember asking, we were talking about deception in the world. It's like, how much worse can it get than what it was in 1995 and 96? And he told me, he says, it's going to get much worse. And here we are today. And I can't even believe how much worse it has gotten. And I know it's going to get worse than this.
Over the last 10 years.
What?
Over the last 10 years, it got so much worse, unbelievable.
Yes?
It's the last 10 years. Unbelievable.
We're heading into break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. Everyone must be getting ready for Christmas. It's been a little quiet here this week, but there's a lot of buys out there, ladies and gentlemen. And the bigger money's coming into the markets. It's interesting. It's interesting to see the buying changes from folks. It's interesting to see the different trends that, you know, come in and make the purchases and so forth. But 800-375-4188, that's 1-800-375-4188. You know, it's just, and you know what, Butch, there are days it seems like, my goodness, we need to focus on some good news or something. We need to focus on happy. But I can't find any.
Well, you know,
unless it's about a dog.
As we were talking during the break, you know, and Todd was talking. I live in the woods. I do. I'm out in the middle of nowhere by myself, so to speak. And I like it that way because I can go down in the woods below my house on a piece of land that I own here, and I can watch nature be normal. I'm away from the news headlines, and I could talk to my Savior. I have what I call my prayer rock. It's called Camp Rock, actually. It's a historical type site. That's where the Unions and the Confederates camped during the Civil War, and that's on my property. I go there sometimes. It's an overhang, and it looks like a big archway. You can back in there out of the rain and sit on a big slab of rock I call my altar. It looks like a natural altar. I just sit there sometimes and talk to the Lord, just sit and meditate on things. We all have to do that. That's good news. I can do that. I thank God for that, that we can have a little bit of peace. And the fact that I got a warm place to go to bed tonight in a nice warm home. And I've got a fine wife for over 48 years. I mean, I'm very blessed. So the world around us is full of bad news. There's nothing to do about that. I praise God every day for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for my dear friends and family. I praise God every day for that. But the world out there, the society, the system is full of corruption. Now, not all people thank God for the good people. I'm not saying that, but society itself, the public school system, the financial system, it's all decaying. It is. But the good news is we still have one another as family in Christ or as blood family that we can spend time with. That's good news. Someone we can share some laughter with. I praise God for laughter every day because we have to have that. That's even Christ, Mel, they had to go take R&R once in a while. He went back in the mountains and prayed and spent time with him and a few of his disciples. They went out and got away from the rat race they were involved in and what they were doing. And that's what we all need to do that. That's a blessing to be able to do that. And even Christ himself wept over what he saw. So there's no sin in having your heart broken what you see. But if you dwell on 24/7, if you don't take time to meditate on some good things, it'll drive you insane.
You know, I've been accused of only seeing the bad in things. And I know that's not true. I was really raised to always find the good.
Yes.
In people. But what I see lots of times, those who totally just see the good, totally, I don't think they're really seeing the truth.
No, they're not. No, that's what the old saying, rose-colored glasses. But I know you, probably better than a lot of people because I've known you for years, but I know you like to laugh, you like to joke, and you're a jolly person. Yeah, you see a lot of bad news, but you haven't lost your sense of humor or the desire to spend time with people that you are comfortable around. And if we weren't so far apart, you and I and Todd, we'd spend more time together.
Absolutely.
But it's fun to do radio shows with you all because you and I share a lot of news, but we spend a lot of time during the breaks talking to each other. That's important. To me, that relieves tension. But anyway, we're talking about go ahead.
I do want to say one thing to you.
What's that?
It has been a while since you brought a joke to the program.
Well, I just didn't do it. I didn't want to take up airtime doing that. It's your airtime, you know. I just work here. But anyway, but I'll be glad to do that if you want. I can do that once in a while. I surely can. And I do. Before I start Bible study in church, a lot of times, even when we're on camera, I share some laughter. Laughter, the Bible says, a merry heart worketh good like a medicine. And I feel pretty good, and I like to laugh, so I keep on laughing. You know, we're talking about the pension plans with corporations in this country collapsing. Well, you know, in France, they're having riots right now because the government's cut the pensions of the people. You heard that, I'm sure.
I have. I reported on it.
So that just means that it's a socialist nation that's guaranteeing people something they can't give them. A pension. It's another Ponzi scheme. This time not run by corporations, but run by government. And it's going under. Folks, you got to understand this. This can't go on like this forever. It is a Ponzi scheme. The market's a Ponzi scheme. The market changed the rules all the time to keep themselves looking like they're doing something very well. Some years ago, when they said flipping hamburgers was a manufacturing job, just to keep the numbers up. Melody, that's insane. But that's what they do, these tricks, just keep things going. As you mentioned, the Fed's pumped another $70.2 billion in short-term liquidity into the markets. Now, how long can it keep pumping in billions of dollars into the markets to keep it going? $70.2 billion in temporary liquidity to financial markets. That is going. It can't go on that like that forever.
Well, you know, it's what keeps the stock market up. So, you know, but what it shows is the crack, and it shows that they're building and creating bigger and bigger bubbles. And there was a recent article from Bloomberg who talks about, you know, the write-offs, the support by write-offs about the Democratic presidential candidates. They, you know, Warren wants to cancel most of the $1.6 trillion in U.S. student loans. Bernie Sanders wants to go further. He says erasing the whole lot, as well as $81 billion in medical debt. You just can't eliminate this debt and expect nice things to happen.
That's true.
They will default. The government will default on their debt, at least Bernie and Elizabeth, but how does that help everybody else?
That's very true.
Well, and you know, so... Just the idea that, and you know, the thing of it is too, I mean, you hear them screaming about health care fraud. None of that would ever get passed. You know, not today. Not in the next election. Not in the next 4 years. Probably, you know, who knows? I'd like to think there'd be enough resistance, but then you get Democrats and you get a Democratic president, and you know, if it's all who knows what they'd be able to do. But the ideas that they're talking about this stuff is just frightening enough.
And people are supporting them. Somebody's supporting them. That's even more frightening. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
You know, but it's amazing to me that, you know, the countries that we owe trillions to, with all the different ways that they defrauded the people and the gambling they did with the derivatives and all that, the people that we owe know we're never going to pay it.
Yeah,
but they keep loaning to us because it keeps their economy afloat too, doesn't it?
It does.
So it's just amazing. They know they're never going to get your money, but if they shut us off, they won't be able to move their goods.
Yep.
So it's it's insane, but it's been working for quite a while. But now back to some more news: a major freight carrier bankrupted, leaving 3,000 truckers jobless. Many stranded on highways. Now, that is amazing. As the manufacturing recession gains momentum, the largest U.S. truckload carrier filed for bankruptcy Monday morning, leaving 3,000 truck drivers and 500 administrative positions without a job 2 weeks before Christmas. Indianapolis-based Celadon filed for a voluntary Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the early hours on Monday morning. At 1:43 a.m. Eastern Time, headlines via Reuters confirmed bankruptcy and how all domestic and international operations have been halted. And some of the drivers stuck on the road. They went bankrupt while they were still on the highway. 3,000 truckers and 500 office workers. You know, a little town I live in of Nettie, the whole county I live in has like 10,000 people in it. So 3,000 is, we'll say, almost a third or a fourth of what live in this whole county. That's a lot of people in it.
Yes, it is.
And if there's four for family, that affects immediate family. It affects the ones they buy from, who they do business with, and all that. Folks, this is a serious situation. When truckers are laying off, that's not a good sign the economy's booming at all. It isn't. It's just the opposite. So we can say this is bad news and we shouldn't talk about it, but does not talking about it make it go away? Does it make it better if you ignore it? That's like people, somebody has cancer and they ignore it. That doesn't heal it. I understand that they don't want to accept it. I can certainly see that. But it doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And when you have the U.S. government deficit, it rose by 12% in the first 2 months of the 2020 fiscal year. Heck, they haven't even signed the budget yet. You know, they have until December 20th. And, you know, so in the first 2 months of the 2020 fiscal year, $342 billion. These are according to new estimates from the Congressional Budget Office. The deficit is on track to surpass $1 trillion in the 2020 fiscal year, which began on October 1st. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has called the deficit path unsustainable and warns that the increasing debt burden will push down economic growth and could worsen future financial crises. Now, this is coming from the CBO. The first 2 months of the fiscal year, the CBO estimated that spending increased $49 billion to reach $813 billion. And this is it, ladies and gentlemen, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Defense Department. They're not going to cut the Defense Department. They're going to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And an increase in the cost of subsidizing education loans also contributed to the increased outlays. Meanwhile, revenues only increased half as quickly, rising $12 billion in comparison to last year and reaching $471. Yet income and payroll tax revenues grew 4%. CBO noted that a 14% spike in corporate tax income was not representative of most corporate taxation, and most companies don't have to pay their taxes until December 16th. And, of course, we've seen this deficit balloon. And you just can't blame this administration. I mean, that's...
No, you can't.
You know, it's what the previous administrations did accounts for what this administration is doing. And it'll be the same for the next administration. What we're doing in the past administration affects... that administration is the only thing that it can do. So, and that's to spend.
And that's been passed on from each administration all of our lifetime,
yep.
LD.
Yeah.
It has.
Yep.
It just keeps ballooning. I remember when Reagan was in office, no, he was going to save the country, just like Trump was. And he had the biggest spending boom, government spending boom before in history. Well, it's the same thing with Trump now. But it's not just Trump. It's every one of them. Each one of them passes to the next administration a bigger bill to pay. And it's impossible to pay it. So they just add more to it. And now this administration and Congress itself and all that run for office don't even mention spending any longer. They don't mention cutting. They're talking about spending more.
What would happen if a president actually gave an address and said, we have to do something, or this, and that's going to happen. And so let's fix the problem.
I don't
know. That's not going to happen.
No, it isn't.
Markets would crash.
What if somebody said, we're going back and we're going to live strictly by the Constitution? Do you know what they'll do to this country? There'll be no more benefits, what we call government benefits, because they're not constitutional. Every benefit we get by the government is not constitutional. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. And that is just ain't going to happen. You know that.
I know that.
If somebody ran for office and said we're going to actually go back to a sound fiscal policy and we're going to do it, we're going to cut, we have to cut until we get it down where it's supposed to be and get government out of people's faces and go back to a nation that's with limited government and more freedom, or if somebody ran for office to say that and the other person say, well, we're going to give you more benefits, you vote for me and I'll give you more, who will get elected? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I do.
People don't want freedom. They want security. And Ben Franklin said it very well. Those who give up the essential liberties for false security deserve neither. Temporary security. They deserve neither. And Daniel 8:25 in the Bible says that the Antichrist system will destroy many through peace. Well, I thought peace meant absence of war. I looked it up one day in the Strong's Concordance. It means the word peace in Daniel 8:25 means false security and false prosperity. That's how you can destroy many. That's in your Bible. Mm-hmm. False security and prosperity is destroying the world. That's what the Bible prophesied would happen, and Melody, is happening right now on our watch, is it not?
It certainly is.
So that's why I say the Bible. It's all in there. It really is. We're about out of time already. My goodness.
We are. How about that?
It goes by so fast, but I've enjoyed the broadcast today, folks. And please don't think we're trying to be negative all the time. We're not. We're just telling you the truth. I hope you make you understand that you need to move in some direction to prepare for the future. And gold and silver is the only solid thing you're going to find. Period. I promise it is. And talking about gifts coming up for the end of the year for you for New Christmas, what make a nicer gift than a piece of gold somebody, if they understood what it was? Wow, what a gift. Anyway, I'm going to
800-375-4188. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.